You need a here. The intro song for this track is Ms. Lauryn Hill's Black Rage Sketch. Michael describes the song in his reflection, noting how it demonstrates the terms of Maulana Karenga's African rhetorical practice with its rhetoric of possibility, reaffirmation, rhetoric of community, and rhetoric of resistance. In this track, Michael and I go back and forth about how to avoid a multicultural approach, one that is described in some detail in Ben's reflection through the work of Vijay Prashad. This connects to other tracks where Tim begins a conversation around avoiding comfortable, schooled responses to race and racism.
When the dogs bite, when the bees sing, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember all these kinds of things, and then I don't fear so bad. Black rage is founded, fed us self-hatred, lies and abuse. While we waited and waited, spiritual treason, this grid and its cages.
So I left with this question, like, do I teach a class that I'm trying to teach about racism and not say the class is about racism? because that's an issue in itself, and what I was left thinking, what ways does hip-hop or songwriting then become a dance around the actual thing that you want to? And the danger of, like, not just saying, this is a class about race and racism in the U.S., and then we could use these tools to talk about that, to always sort of... So there's a tension there, right? Because there's the two things is that they're either going to shut down because you're being really direct about the thing, but if you're not, then there's going to be this possibility of... So, you know, one thing about your course, Michael, that you're grounding it on Smitherman's work, and I'm thinking that is so powerful, because I did pieces like Sherman Alexie's piece, Gloria Anzaldúa's piece, June Jordan, and because those pieces allowed for, like, more of that multicultural approach to text that allowed students to write themselves in relation to these issues in a way that was more comfortable. And so I was left thinking really a lot about what does it mean to try and like teach with hip hop about race and racism and justice without really sort of foregrounding that, which I thought, Michael, you're at least the text you used to frame the class did a little bit more of that in some ways.
Yeah, the language foundational stuff helps a lot, you know? Like, there's, and I guess I should be used to this by now, but, you know, this notion of black people speaking broken English is, like, still, like, a pretty prevalent idea, even among, you know, senior level English majors. Right. And so to kind of start to deconstruct that and be like, well, no, actually, no, it's systematic. And actually, like, there are particular, you know, historical and social factors that lead to the language being constructed the way it is. And, like, kind of getting into it a little bit, like, is really I think it's good fruit for those kids. But because so then it starts to make it apparent that, okay, wait, there's something else that's going on here. It isn't just that, like, so then that the language is so distinct also then reinforces the idea that the culture is also distinct, and that there's some really, really different ways that black folks, people of African descent and people of European descent have been enculturated into American society. And so then from there, then it's a little bit easier to say, okay, right. But just because there is a difference at a cultural level doesn't necessarily mean that one is better than another. So then where does the power come into play? Then why is there still a difference then? Or why is it that, you know, the one or two black kids in the class who do speak black English, like, have been, made to feel like shit because of the way they talk, right? Or they deny their cultural background, or deny their history, or deny their home language, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, in that way, it's really productive. To connect it to hip-hop, then, I think, hopefully gives them some historical context for why the music is the way it is and why it does what it does. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, back to the earlier point, what's flowing in the mainstream and really the practices of actually, you know, engaging those mainstream texts or consuming that mainstream music, mm-hmm, facilitates the multiculturalist stuff that you're talking about, you know, right?
Yeah. Like,
yeah, that I, in a predominantly white institution, I'm still struggling with the frames because it's still sort of then. So, you know, my approach was try to sort of break down writing as the only form or the only communicative practice, right? And maybe having everybody see how they have home languages. But then, like, that really sort of, again, created that multicultural approach where we all have home languages. And it's all, you know, that, like, back to Keith Gilliard's point of, like, sameness of difference models, right, when it comes to being translingual. So people were really comfortable with that. The thing that I'm struggling with is inviting students in, because I'm in a predominantly white classroom, and I don't want to create a scenario where I'm teaching about that we're engaging in these texts and we're as if we're talking about an other over there that we're studying. In other words, how do I help everybody understand that we're all implicated in these conversations and that it's not just that we're talking about African-American vernacular English over there as this other thing that we study, or hip hop as this thing that is happening over there, or racism as this thing that's happening over there. So trying to get everybody sort of implicated in the classroom and at the same time avoid that sort of multicultural sort of sense of, or that sameness of difference model that sort of comes up.